Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so blessed that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. We're going to do a bit of a different change here. We're going to highlight several announcements a little bit later in the service, so just keep, you know, an eye on that. We would invite all of you to make a note of the announcements in your bulletin, and as God leads, to be involved as the Holy Spirit leads you. If you would, bow your heads and your hearts so we can begin our time of worship and focusing in on Christ, and then sing praises unto his holy name. Let us pray. O gracious heavenly Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this day. We thank you for your mercies that are new each and every morning. We bless you for how many blessings you just so lavishly pour out upon all of us. May we not take any for granted, but may we return these blessings you give to us in a sacrifice of song, in a sacrifice of praise. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We bless you now. May you meet us in this time of praise, this time of worship, and may you be blessed through it all. We commit this service into your care. In the wonderful name of Christ our Lord, our risen Savior, we do pray. Amen.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Although it's raining outside, the sun, S-O-N, is shining inside, right? So as we stand and get ready for praise, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I'm going to trust in the Lord.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place that we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am. Love like this, oh my God, to find. I am overwhelmed, what a joy divine. Love like this, that's our hearts on fire. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah call. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on.
As we bow our heads. Lord, thank you for being there for us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for what you're doing in this church. Father, allow us to not doubt at all, but to have complete faith that you're in control of everything. Allow us to hold on to you, just like that song said. For there isn't anything that we haven't gone through or anything that we're currently going through that you're not with us. And you allow all things, even our past, to work together toward our future. And we need to allow you to be in control of that. Father, because we never shall forget the day when you walked on this earth and you died for our sins. You gave us such a beautiful future. Even though it rains outside, we have you in our hearts. In all things, we give you praise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord's done so much for us, just so much. And one day we're going to walk with him and just be able to talk with him. It's just going to be a wonderful experience. And this life just teaches us so that we can be with him one day. So as we go through trials, we need to trust in him and not doubt, but have a complete knowledge that he's going to be there with us in the future.
I come to the garden, oh, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my hair, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay the garden with him, though the night around me is falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is me that I am his own. tarry there. None other has ever known.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, as we come again in front of you, Lord, we thank you for the future you've given us. What a wonderful day that will be when we get to walk with you and talk with you. What a bright future we have. Even though this world wants to beat us down, the enemy always wants to attack us. He always wants us to make us feel as if we're not worthy enough to be with you. But we are. We've given our hearts to you, and we love you more than anything. Lord, allow us to, even when things get rough, to look to you, not to doubt that you're there, but to have complete faith that you're there, knowing that you're going to take care of every single situation. Have faith like we've never had before, but just totally trust in you with our day. Even though it rains outside, you are with us in our hearts. Father, we ask a special blessing over the service, and all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry especially prepared for you. At this time in our service, we want to highlight three specific announcements. And the first one we're going to talk about is the 100th year celebration. I'm going to send a couple clipboards around and basically just want to share with you our focus of the celebration. Our focus is an outward focus. It's to commemorate what God has done here at Trinity over the last 100 years. It is looking into the community to share the gospel in many different ways. And so we are asking for individuals to, number one, save the date, you know, mark that on your calendar, but also to check your heart and to see how the Spirit would have you be involved. We're going to have many games. We're going to have a lot of fun. But as I mentioned, it's all going to be focused on sharing the gospel with those individuals that are here. And so save the date. There will be more details coming soon. The clipboards I sent around are in things that we need. We're going to have a cornhole tournament and things of that nature. And so if you are able and you feel led, please just mark your name on the clipboard as it comes around. The second announcement that we want to highlight is this whole summer we are doing a Bible study series based upon your questions. It's not over a book of the Bible. It's based upon the questions that people have. And so I've asked the individuals that have been attending to write down their questions, and then we are answering those questions one by one each week. So we would like to invite you to that Bible study, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And the last announcement here, and then Ray is going to come forward, and he's going to share about Western Avenue today as well. Next Wednesday, this Wednesday actually, July 15th at 6 p.m. here in Trinity, we will be having a post-vacation Bible school. We had many victories this year in VBS. 31 children came to faith for the first time in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This was the first year where the attendance did not decrease. This was the first year that the middle schoolers did not disappear. And so friends, you know, lots to be thankful for. We made many changes, and these were the reasons why we made those changes, was to focus, to be more intentional in making disciples for the transformation of the world. So Ray, if you would come forward and just share about Western Avenue, that would be awesome.
One very quick message. I want to thank everybody for your hearts of giving and for the support that you've had with us for so many years going to Western Avenue. Last week when we passed around the boards, we fell a little bit short. The email, likewise, we've ended up a little bit short. So if you missed that opportunity to be a part of this ministry, please see me after the service today. There's plenty of opportunity for everyone else to be involved if you didn't have a chance to do so already. Also with a couple of servers, if you're interested as well. So thank you. God bless.
And you'll be leaving here, the church, to go to Toledo at 2 o'clock. Okay, and Western Avenue, for those that are visiting, is a interceded mission in Toledo. And, you know, four times a year we go up there and prepare a meal and serve it to them. And so if you are here and visiting and would like to be a part of that, that's Western Avenue.
Take away the melodies, take away the songs I sing, take away all the light, and all the songs you let me write. Just the man I am today. Say the words you need to say. Let them see you and me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I say. Let them see you. Let them see you. Without your grace, another smile, another face, another breath, a grain of sand, passing quickly through your hands. I give my life, I'm not afraid. Take it all, take everything. Let them see you and me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I say. Let them see you. Let them see. Breath I breathe, sing a simple melody, but I pray they'll hear more than a song in me, in me. Let them see you and me. Let them hear you.
Be seated. This morning we're finally finishing our series titled Faithful Followers, and we're going to be talking about doubting Thomas. Thomas, the doubter, and sometimes I believe that we give him a raw deal because he is characterized as an individual who doubted. And yet, if you or I were living during his day, I'm not sure that our response would have been much different. Many of us would have said the same things that Thomas did, and we would have said, hey, Jesus, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. And we need to understand the biblical concept of what doubting is. Many times, all through the scripture, doubting is really not a good thing. And the biblical understanding of what it means to doubt is to oppose God. Now, when we think of the scripture that was read earlier, and Thomas said, hey, unless I see, unless I do this, I'm not so sure that he was actually opposing God. Yes, we can say that Thomas was a pessimist. Yes, we can say and see when Lazarus had passed and word had come to Jesus to go into the town of Bethany, that Thomas says, hey, you know what? I'll go and I'll die with you, Jesus. He was always geared towards the negative. And yet there's three things that this man, this disciple, that Jesus chose as one of the 12 that you and I, we can glean, we can learn, and we can apply to our lives. And the first is the potential. It's interesting to me that when Jesus appeared, Thomas wasn't in the upper room. 10 disciples were there. And he was probably so melancholy, so down, so depressed that Jesus was crucified and Jesus had died that he was probably moping around doing his own thing. And the disciples had gathered. The disciples were there. And the potential that Jesus saw in Thomas was a courageous individual, was an individual that had the potential to be a true disciple, to be a teacher, to be the one. We could look at Acts 2, and we could see that all the disciples were anointed with the Holy Spirit, and Thomas was amongst them. And so the pessimism, the doubting, did not get the best of Thomas. If you have your bulletins with you, follow along under the sermon points, the potential. And Thomas truly was a pessimist. As I mentioned, he was willing to go and to die, and he was really down all the time. And friends, that's true courage. It's true courage to go if you are always seeing the downside of things. Pessimists are defined as people who see or anticipate the worst, but we need to understand the reason why they do it. They're concerned with safety and security. You see, we don't understand a lot in our culture of America. We have a comfortable Christianity. We don't understand what it is like for an individual from Bangladesh or another part of the world, what it means to truly come to Christ and say, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. And what it means, friends, is it means to walk away from your families, to disassociate everything you ever knew as life. And the first century disciples were faced with the same thing. Thomas was included in that. What it meant for him was to be aligning himself with the persecuted group in his day. What it meant for him was to walk away from the quote-unquote socially accepted norm and to say, I am on the outside because my love for Christ is bigger than any acceptance in this world ever will be. Pessimists always see the negative. They always anticipate the worst. And they do so because they are concerned with their safety and their security. That's why when Lazarus had passed away and word came to Jesus, Thomas's response was because he knew the Jews were looking for Jesus and Bethany was close to Jerusalem. And in his mind, he said, hey, the Jews are going to grab Jesus. And then he said, hey, I might as well go and die with him. Pessimists can be a courageous follower of Christ. That's the potential. And so the first thing we can learn in our life that many of us have a tendency to be skewed one way or the other. We can be pessimistic or we can be optimistic, and we're going to get to the pitfalls in a little bit. But just because we're pessimistic or optimistic doesn't mean that neither one of us can be not a courageous follower. Every individual has the potential to be a courageous follower of Christ. Don't let your tendency skew your belief or skew how you follow Christ, because Jesus saw in Thomas what he didn't even see in himself. And Jesus chose Thomas, a pessimist, for a reason. Because Jesus knew that he could be a follower and a loyal follower at that of Jesus, and he was. The history books tell us that he was martyred by a spear being driven through him, being impaled. And so you think the pessimist, surely he would shy away, he would shirk away, and he would walk away from his faith. No, he was solid. He was true. He claimed what he claimed, and he lived what he lived because his claims and his beliefs affected his life. And it wasn't the other way. It wasn't that his beliefs did not affect his life. It wasn't that his life affected his beliefs. It was that he claimed what he claimed. And the truth of the matter was, is Jesus was resurrected and Jesus was the Messiah, and he still is today, friends. And so our beliefs need to impact our actions. Our beliefs must affect our lifestyle. And we see that in the life of Thomas, the life of the doubter, the life of the one who was unwavering, who was melancholy, who was walking away, probably moping around when the rest of the disciples were meeting, and probably they were up in the upper room anticipating what Jesus was going to do next. Thomas wasn't there. He got so inside of himself, but he didn't let that stop him. You nor I can allow that to stop us too. You see, I've read an article recently that 70% of all Americans' thoughts are negative. That's pessimism, friends. That's negativity, friends. And I'm here to tell you that we stand from a point of victory. Jesus is resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of God. And one day he will return again. And friends, we are coming at this world and this life from a place of victory, not defeat. Shame on us. Shame on us. When we allow those negative thoughts, when we allow that pessimistic attitude to affect our life, and worse yet, to affect our choices. Thomas never allowed it to affect his choices. He was true through and through. He was true to the very end. Even though he had a tendency to be skewed that way, he stood the test of time, and he never wavered. Jesus also knew that pessimists can be courageous believers in Jesus. And that he knew that pessimists can be true witnesses of the Lord. But the pains are this. You put pessimists and optimists together, you're going to have pain. You're going to have pain. I personally am an optimist. And what optimists do is they when they feel that negativity, it crushes optimists. Pessimists are always looking for the negative. And the pains are this, to try to come together, to try to work together, and we need one another. I don't want you to hear that we don't need one or the other. I'm going to explain that in a moment. Why we need pessimists, why we need optimists. Pessimists are focused and concerned with safety and security. The optimists are focused with the advancement and growth. And there's a danger, and we'll get to the pitfall here in a moment. But the pains are this, and they're very real. I know in your mind you're probably thinking at work, you're probably thinking of people you come across, and you're probably thinking, yeah, they just don't see it the way that I see it. Whether you are a pessimist or whether you are an optimist, it matters not. There's pain there. There's difficulty there. Because we are viewing our life, we are viewing what we're dealing with in our society, and quite frankly, friends, our society has been turned inside out right now. We have so many issues, so many social issues that are going on that we really don't understand how to deal with them. And really, in Sunday school earlier, I believe that it's a tactic of the enemy to get us to divert our focus onto these social issues, and we miss the calling of God, and that's to make disciples. And what's worse is when the church turns inside on itself because we have optimists and we have pessimists. We have pessimists and optimists. And because we don't see things in our world the same, we then turn on one another because we've lost the call of Christ. We've lost the call of God and what he has asked us to do, and that's to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We've lost it. We've lost our way to a certain extent. Because we have mired down in the camp of optimism and said, nope, this is the only way. And we don't hear the voice of the pessimist or vice versa. We have mired ourselves down into the negativity and we don't see the potential because, yes, we stand from a point of victory. And so there's much we can learn from Thomas. There's a lot we can learn. We need to understand our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all unique individuals. We have all been made in the image and in the likeness of God. And included in that is the personality and the character and the qualities and the attributes that God has wired and interwoven in you and me. And to not hear someone, to not dialogue through things and issues and problems, even if it is about the social concerns, it's to dismiss God as making another individual in his image. And it's ultimately to say that God has made a mistake and we know better than God. That's rough. But that's the pains. That's the rub. It goes on each and every day, whether it's the workplace, whether it's our families, our biological families, whether it's our church family. And so we need to see the potential that God sees in every individual. It doesn't matter your tendency to be pessimistic or optimistic. We can see the pains, but the pains need to be heard. They need to be talked through, and they need to be dialogued about because one is not right and one is not wrong. We need both, friends. We need both. And here's the possible pitfalls. And this is where a lot of Christians get into trouble. Pessimists, they'll bog down and they can err on the side of inactivity. They can stop. They can see everything that is wrong in our world. And it will prevent them, friends, from ever moving forward. Optimists can err on the side of not even thinking about the consequences and saying, yeah, we can do it. And you can see it in the disciples. When the night that Jesus was betrayed, the hosts of the legions of armies come to arrest Jesus, and Peter's there, and he cuts off Malchus's ear, and he's an optimist, and he's saying, we can take him, Lord. We can get him. I wonder where Thomas was at. And yet Jesus was there to make sure that they towed the line, to make sure that they balanced each other out. You see, the possible pitfall is either inactivity or an unrealistic assessment of the future. We need the pessimists, those of us that are optimists, to say, you need to consider this. The pessimists need the optimists to say, no, we can do this. We can move forward. And friends, it matters not what your tendency is, to be negative or to be positive. We need one another. Doubting Thomas, he said, I will not believe. The scriptures don't tell us that the other disciples or apostles ever got on him for that. In fact, I believe it was the other way. I believe that they went out and they found Thomas and they said, hey, Jesus came and he revealed himself to us. Come with us. And they encouraged him along. And that's a healthy view of brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus taught a parable about the shepherd leaving the 99 to go find the one. And yet in our minds, we dismiss others. And if we are ever going to move forward as a church in America, we must see the value as God sees the potential in all people, in all brothers and sisters in Christ. We must understand the pains of dealing, but we cannot allow the pains to stop us from working through issues, to stop us from working through and dialoguing through the difficulties. And we must be aware of the possible pitfalls to either not do anything and say, woe is me, it's all so bad, the sky is falling. Or to have such an unrealistic view of the future that we throw all caution to the wind. A lot of us are like Thomas. We question. We doubt. Don't let those questions, don't let that doubt be a stumbling block between you and God or between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your peace. Jesus, we especially thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, who you have made in your image and in your likeness, you have created all of us. May we see your value. May we see your potential in every individual, every brother and sister in the faith of Jesus as their Lord. May we see you in them. We thank you, O Jesus. We thank you that you chose not just optimists, but you chose pessimists too. And you have given us this word that all of us, irregardless of our tendencies, we can be courageous followers of you. And may we keep you central in all that we do, in everything that we go about. May your word, may the good news, the gospel of you, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, be at the core of our individual lives and our collective lives as a church here at Trinity. And above all, may we reflect you as we interact one with another. May we reflect you as we interact with the others, non-believing people in the world. May we exhort one another, or may we caution one another. May we be the voice of reason. But may you be glorified through all of us. May we truly be united. O Jesus, O Lord, as you prayed, when you prayed that we would be one, may we come together truly as one body your bride, the church, this day and for the coming days. We bless you and we thank you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let us remember to humble ourselves as little children, just as our daughter joins us up here to sing this last song, Lord, I Need You. If you need anything from God, these altars are open. There's anointing oil. There's everything that you need. God is here for you. Please remember that and know that there's nothing that the Lord won't do for you. So sometimes we need to let go of what we're holding on to and just humble ourselves as little children.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing head, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the
as we close, may we grasp and understand that not only do we need Jesus, but we need one another. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we will be able to stand in this evil day. Because friends, our society is just promoting more and more evil. May we not shoot our wounded. May we not attack our brothers and sisters in Christ. But may we truly come together as a unified body of believers in Jesus. And now may the blessing of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you in the peace of Christ. Amen.